The Immigration Project historically has just done legal services, so for folks trying to attain citizenship or permanent residency, what have you. But thanks to the Illinois Department of Human Services, we're looking to expand our social services. You can imagine for anyone, but especially for folks who are international or for whom English isn't their first language, it is a spider's web or a labyrinth of phone calls and knocking on doors that don't open to access anything from some of the many grants that are going on for financial relief for COVID, finding folks who speak Spanish or perhaps French for mental health care services. So what we're trying to do with me and my team of two caseworkers, we're trying to navigate a lot of that for them so that we can provide them with some things like whether it's homelessness assistance, any of the basic things that people need to live. So we're trying to have a one-stop shop where we can actually get them in front of a real person instead of just calling numbers that don't answer.
How does the location help in that? Does it reflect settlement patterns or living patterns in the Twin Cities?
So yes, I think it's the statistics are about 60% of our immigrant population are South Asian. I think the next biggest category is our friends from Mexico who settle here. And then we have a not insignificant Congolese population. So we're seeing the needs are increasing, especially given everything that 2020 brought. So we're going to be housed at our same location the Immigration Project is always at. We hope to, in the after times of COVID, be able to expand physically. But for now, with everything remote, we're going to end for the familiarity of those who've already used us for legal services will be right there. We also want to offer things like workshops. So with tax season around the corner, how do our immigrant friends find their I-10 numbers? But then also meeting with a lot of really cool community partners like Rick Lewis at the Town of Normal this morning. We're talking about different workshops that we can do for education for non-immigrants. So things like breaking down those figurative and or sometimes literal walls so that we can get a little bit more community bonding, little cross-cultural conversations. So Rick is fantastic and he works primarily with older populations. So we talked about the opportunity for us to collaborate on different workshops or other different partnerships where some of our domestic senior citizens can get to engage more with our international folks, but then also so that some of the international seniors who use his services are aware of some of the other supports that are in the community. So we're seeing different folks come to the Immigration Project primarily for legal support, but we also have folks who come who've had are survivors of domestic violence, for example, or who might have other needs that they just don't know how to solve. So we're trying to, or rather I'm trying to with this position, is tap into the resources that are already there to save other folks kind of doubling up effort.
Will this reduce English learning language offerings, say, at libraries or on the west side of Bloomington or anything like that?
Not at all. Our goal is not to reduce offerings, but to tap into the offerings that are already there. So I'm hoping to connect with, I know Deb Halperin very well, who's over at the west side. I know a lot of the different connections and friends that I've had the privilege of making from my time at Wesleyan and ISU. So I want to see what's already there that perhaps some of our population of our immigrant community don't know about or maybe don't know how to access. So we met with a couple different community partners who offer things like grief counseling services, but have never offered them in anything other than English. So how do we promote those for those of our community who do speak English? And then how do we perhaps take that model, work with them to provide it in Spanish or Creole or other languages? Our main goal is the referrals to those resources. And then in addition to us supporting the immigrant community, we want to support those who are also supporting immigrant communities. So maybe we can help with translations or interpretations, that sort of thing.
We've had a transition at the presidential level. Mm-hmm. You're boosting your profile here with this welcoming center. Do you think that this will be a positive, or is there some risk associated with it from lingering sentiments that were whipped up by the previous administration?
I think that it's definitely a positive thing because we do actually have a lot of support from community members who, regardless of presidential administration or whoever they may have supported, support the work that we do because it is about creating an inclusive, welcoming community for folks. So I think it's a positive because we do want to do a lot of that education as well for our immigrant population, those who live alongside our immigrant population.
How important is one-stop shopping, or do people have different needs at different times and they're not going to be coming from multiple things at the same time?
I think what we see is a lot of compounding of needs. So let's say we have somebody who is experiencing homelessness. Chances are they're also struggling with food insecurity. Chances are there's a level of depression, perhaps, or a level of social isolation. So oftentimes we'll find that somebody comes in with one need, whether that starts out as a legal need with our legal team, or whether it starts out as, hey, how do I get this vaccine if perhaps I'm undocumented? And the more time we get to spend with folks, and that's the privilege of the center, is that the more that we can support the person there. So it's a very holistic approach. I think it's super key because we know that word of mouth is a huge way that information gets shared, especially among channels for whom we don't see our causes represented in the media, perhaps. So let's say we have an international soul coming here. They're tied in with a couple different friends. They don't know the first place to look for things. And I can relate as an international person myself when I first came as a teenager. You're like, where do I begin? So you go somewhere, you realize, all right, you can help me with this. By chance, could you help me with this? So we have relied a lot on our word of mouth. So whether it's referring us to a family member or what have you. So that does help know that we try to answer whatever question and support whatever need comes our way. And if we can't, we try to find those who can.